So let's pray. Father, we thank you that the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. We thank you for the scriptures that are given, the gospels that are written, that we may know Jesus and understand more of him. We thank you for this passage of scripture and the glorious things that we are taught and encouraged out of it. We thank you for your word which comes to us, and even the themes of the word, the future of heaven, being with Christ, the lostness of those who are going to an eternity without the Lord. And so we're encouraged, we're challenged by these things, Father, to live as we ought. So help us as we look at a few of these truths that come out of this word, questions and answers, faith and doubt. And Lord, may we be encouraged, challenged, and led to live for you more in a greater way, with more encouragement in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've thought, you know, most of us, I say us as well because I'm part of it, of older people, I was thinking, what does the Lord say to encourage older people? And thinking of myself as well. So when I'm thinking about this, what would older people be concerned about? What could they be encouraged to be involved in? And like a voice said to me, well, how long will you live? And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, Lord, you know. How do I know? He says, well, how long do you think you'll live? And in my mind, my answer came back, well, my dad lived to 90, so, you know, that would be good. And then a question came again, how long do you expect to live? And that was a challenging question because I'd been thinking about what to say to older people. But it was a very good question because it suddenly dawned on me, or maybe the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, I am going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I'm not going to die. My body may die, but what Jesus has said in this chapter indicates that if I live and believe in him, I will never die. And I was encouraged by that. I remembered, as Paul said, I have a desire both ways, one, to die and to be with Christ, to go to be with Christ, or to live here to encourage God's people. But either way, he went on to say, whether we live or whether we die, we live to the Lord. And as he said in Colossians, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we're in Christ. We are alive in Christ. We've already, in one sense, been resurrected out of death and into life already. True? So what a great encouragement that was. So I thought, okay, I might be in my 70s, but in comparison to eternal life, I'm just a baby. Because I'm going to keep on going. I am a baby too sometimes. Well, so I'm reminded by Sandy. Isn't that great? In comparison, just a short period of life on earth, but it's just the beginning of eternal life, really, in comparison to eternity. So, reminded in Revelation that we are given garments of white, and you know, we've washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, says John, by the Holy Spirit, in Revelation, the book of Revelation. And he goes on to talk about they are worthy, the saints, and their deeds follow them. So, I've heard someone say, and I couldn't quite believe it in the past, an older preacher who said, some of the best work for the Lord was done in older age. That is, body age, because of all the experience and the understanding and their comprehension of what God is doing and done. But today we want to talk about a little bit about what was happening between Martha, Mary, and the Lord Jesus as they come. Of course, the disciples are involved in this as well. So often with the words of Jesus, they're like, as Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is sharp and active, like a two-edged sword, right? And in Revelation 1:16, it says that out of his mouth, as Jesus saw John, out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. So there are two swords or edges of the sword. And here we find Jesus talking when he heard about Lazarus being ill. He would have told the messengers who came, because it says they sent message to him saying, right? And if you look at the chosen, it's a piece of papyrus that's sent as a message. I suppose that might be true. But someone was sent to tell Jesus, he whom you love is ill. No need to mention the name. And that's a great encouragement for us today. You whom Jesus loves. Doesn't even need to mention the name. He loves his people. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. He washes her, he's cleansed her, he's brought her into his banqueting house. He's given us new life, being born again of the Spirit, born from above. So he loves you and me. He knows us so well. He or she whom you love, you could say to the Lord Jesus. He loves you so much. And so he knew, as Mary and Martha sent the message, who it was, without mentioning a name. He whom you love is ill. But Jesus stayed there longer after telling the messenger, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Interesting here that he stayed and Lazarus died, and yet Jesus' message was this, it does not lead to death. So when you read this passage and when you read the scriptures, you're meant to look deeper in what is being said. See, Jesus is not wrong here. It's not leading to permanent death, although that's not quite clear in what he says, because Lazarus died. His body died. But you see, Jesus knew, we are told, what he was going to do. And so Mary and Martha heard these words, but when they meet him outside the town, they don't accuse him. They speak in these words of faith, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They both said the same thing. Interestingly, Martha's standing and speaking to him, but Mary falls on her knees. Do you get the implications? The implications. Remember the story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha serving and saying, Lord, why don't you don't care about me, Lord, because you should tell Mary to help me. Do you remember that? Interesting how these pictures keep appearing, isn't it? More and more we understand there's more to these things. So it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it, that it was not to lead to death, you know, completely. So Jesus then says to the disciples that he was going to go to Judea again. He'd been just about stoned by the leaders of the Jews and the Pharisees. And of course the disciples are saying, you want to go back there again? They just tried to kill you, stone you. But Jesus says a very enigmatic statement. He says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Again, a very strange statement. but well worth your thinking and meditating about. You see, we can, in a sense, read the word, but it just becomes the word in your mind. You know the word. You know, you've heard of people who actually know the word. But the point is, do we know the one, the true word, as we read? There's more to come out of this, you see. There's more to understand, which is why Paul prays for the Ephesians that they might know the height and depth and breadth and width of the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ. And so there's a point at which in our lives as Christian people that we need to grow on in the knowledge of Christ, not just here, but here in our hearts, to know him. Paul's prayer after 30 years of ministry in Philippians, he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have received this already, but the one thing I do, he said, I leave everything else behind and I press on to reach the high calling of God in Christ. That meant leaving the things, the great things that God had done through him, all those things put behind, pressing on to reach the prize, the goal. And so Paul is looking about knowing Christ, to know him. And this really is what the Lord Jesus is doing for these two women and the Jews, and of course Jerusalem itself. They thought they knew him. Teacher from Galilee. Is he a prophet? You know, is he the Messiah? But he's teaching about that he would be glorified in what happened in this miracle. He's deepening the faith of Martha and Mary in their life. And you know, as an older person, these things, we have not reached the zenith. We are pressing on, true? That's what we're called to do, to know Jesus in a deeper way. You know that all of eternity is going to be about that, and you will never get to the end of the glory of knowing the glory of God and knowing the glory of Christ. It will never end. You think, well, I've got to heaven and I've made it. You haven't made it. You're still going on to know more of him. You're going, that love for him, that wondrous love and the joy of eternity will be a continual joy. What do you think your friend Tom is doing now? You know, he lived by faith, but faith has now become sight. Tom, come back. No thanks. I'm enjoying this too much. I'm seeing Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know, even by faith, you see Christ. And so, Mary and Martha, in this experience, how their brother was the one whom Jesus loved, who they loved, was allowed to go to the tomb so that the Son of God might be glorified. There's so much that comes out of this. It's absolutely wonderful. And I recommend to you that you keep reading this again and again and look at what happened, because this is a narrative of an experience that these people had which gave them a revelation even more of who Jesus is. But Martha had faith. We find in verse 21 of John 11, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. It's interesting that this word ask here in the Greek, never used about Jesus speaking to the Father and asking. This is really a Greek word which meant, it implied an inferior to a superior. you know, one who asks for something that, you know, begs type of thing, asking in that respect. But that is not the way that Jesus asks, because, you know, he, as he says about the Father, you always hear me. I thank you that you always hear me, because their will, the will of the Father, the will of Jesus is the same will. So it's not asking from inferior to superior, but Jesus is God. He is God the Son. So he doesn't ask this way. So, but Martha had a measure of faith. Jesus immediately cut to the chase. I love these. I've thought about it. Nicodemus coming to Jesus. We know that you are a man sent from God, because no one can do the works that you do unless God is with him. Jesus didn't even enter that discussion. What did he say? Do you remember? What was the first words he said to Nicodemus? Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus thought, I know what's going on here. I know this Jesus. I can see what's happening. I've made up my mind. I can understand. But the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you won't even see the kingdom of heaven. What? You see, there's far more, isn't there, to understand. There's more depth. There's more of this wonder of Jesus to know. And so Martha said to him, your brother will rise again. Now here's that two-edged sword. Martha didn't take the immediate, your brother will rise again. Oh, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah. You're the one, the anointed one coming into the world. You mean now? No, she didn't think that. Her understanding was, yes, I know that he will rise again. I know that. In the last day, now we're in the last days, right? So the last days continue, but there will be a last day, the day of Christ's return, the day when judgment begins. So she's thinking, well, in the last day, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. But in her thoughts, well, you know, I'm dealing with the loss and the grief right now, and we're going to have to begin to realign and reset our life on earth now. All these things are going to change. There's all the things that have to be arranged and sorted as when a person dies, and we're going to have to continue on living here in Bethany, and the life is going to go on. She's not bringing it forward. And this is often the way. You find this in the Gospels all the time. You know, a ruler came to Jesus and said, my son is ill and close to dying. And Jesus said something unusual to him. He said, you people will not believe unless you see signs and wonders. You see, I think he was thinking Jesus had to come and he had to see this sign and wonder. He wanted to see that something would happen. You know, wave his arm. You remember Naaman, the Syrian? I thought the prophet would have come out and waved his hand and said something and then I would be healed. And he was angry about that, because what had Elisha said? Go and have a dunk in the Jordan River 7 times. And what's his complaint? Wait, you know, looking for signs and wonders. Aren't the rivers in Syria far better than that muddy stream? You know, 7 ducks in a muddy stream is what they joke about it. But if people with some kind of logic and said, look, if he'd said some other things, wouldn't you have done it? This is easy. Go and do it. Just go and do it. And of course he did, and he was healed, looking for signs and wonders. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He was saying, Martha, you think death is the end of things. You know, Jesus wept. I think personally he looked at the situation of humanity as death had come into the world through sin and continues on, physical death and spiritual death too, continues on in life. In the face of physical death, all these people thinking about what happened, he got ill, Lazarus was ill, he died. And the people, the hopelessness of the whole situation, we can't change this. And the powerlessness of it. And I'm sure that humanity faces these things all the time. Death. Some try to kind of just gloss it a little bit. I'm saying about people, I've been to funerals, not Christian ones, where don't cry for me, I'm in the next room, they say. I don't think that's any comfort at all, do you? But here, Jesus is looking at this helplessness and hopelessness of humanity, but knowing, I am the resurrection and the life. Here is this double-edged sword, the resurrection in the last day, when all will be raised and face the Lord, some to life and some to destruction, to death, eternal death. So this is true, that this is both sides of this sword, but here the other side is, Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me will never die. And even if he die, he will live, whoever believes in me. The question comes to us as God's people, do you believe this? Truly, do you believe it? Because we can say we believe these things, but do we really, in the face of life and death and so on, do we really have that comfort? Is our hope truly there that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that in him you have that resurrection life, and the great Christian hope is that your body will be raised like a seed you enter to the ground, but as a plant, you know, you come out into new you, as it were. And I think the disciples, you know, they saw him on the mount, what's called of transfiguration, in the glory that he had, you know. Apparently Chinese people speak of a man and woman, and they have a picture of them being in a garden, in those symbols, in a garden. But there's also a little couple of strokes coming away on the side, and it's indicating glory, sparkling, shining. But apparently in the characters, when sin comes, that glory's gone. But in Christ, in the resurrection, we, John says, we shall be like him in glory, for we'll see him as he is. Is that your hope? Do you believe these things? Because if that is your hope, if that is where you see yourself in Christ and your future, and the more you see those things, the more you'll be encouraged. When you see the surety, the secureness to know that this resurrection of Lazarus from death 4 days after he died, you know, beyond hope. 3 days, Jewish people believed the spirit stayed. 4 days, no hope of resurrection. And so Jesus was showing them, I'm the resurrection. Believe in me, and you'll live eternally. So, what can you be doing for the Lord as an older person? Well, I'm sure the Holy Spirit can show you. You are told many things in John, the blessings that you have in John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. There's many things in Scripture that you can do. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to cross oceans and so on. It's living for Jesus, living in the hope that you have. And out of that life that is yours, that eternal life, will flow a river of living water, as Jesus has promised. Whoever believes in me, he said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's your witness to the world. In the midst of troubled times, as we heard today, that young man in the blog, trust in Jesus and go on. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe in believing him and trusting in him, you will never die? Not spiritually. Your body will die, but it will be raised, but you will be with Christ, which Paul says is far better. Wonderful, isn't it? What a glorious thing. How glorious it is to trust in Jesus. We're going to sing that, number 350.